WGNSTVGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, this is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me, my brother Ed Sullivan, and we're going to take 15 minutes and talk about the Notre Dame-Stanford game. We'll also briefly touch upon Notre Dame men's basketball defeating Youngstown State, but you know, obviously the Stanford game's the big news today. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or go to our website, domeanddomer.com, and post a comment directly there. Okay, Ed, feels good to win two in a row. I don't care if we're 3-9 or not. I'll take what I can get. I was tough game to watch, frustrating at times, but that's been this season. That's been this team. Initial comments, give me an overview of the game from your perspective.
Well, boy, frustrating to watch in a sort of a microcosm of the whole season, that's for sure. We had numerous opportunities to really take control of the game. We had a chance to blow Stanford out. We really did.
I agree with you. I mean, that game, you know, 21-14 game, but obviously a couple scores overturned and a couple turnovers in the red zone.
Yeah, and even without getting to what many Irish fans are going to think are horrible calls, I think the things we did to shoot ourselves in the foot, if you just go back and look at those, it was a chance for a decisive win. Now you add the bad calls and you had possibly a chance for a blowout. But the fact that we had a chance for a blowout and we ended up really relying on two miscues by Stanford at the end of the game to win is very much a microcosm of the season.
I tell you, it is. I agree with you. A lot of promise. You see potential in a lot of these young guys, but the ability to like close the deal, to put it all together, we haven't been able to do. And, well, and some, all season long them, and yesterday.
Yeah, some of the problems were not our young guys either. You know, Schwab's fumble was completely unacceptable. It's not as though he had some hit that you look at and you say, you know, like Clawson's fumble, the guy comes from his blind side and strips and he makes a great play. That's part of football. That's on Sam Young. I don't think Schwab's fumble is in that category.
Schwab has too much of a history of putting the ball on the ground.
Yes.
He fumbles a lot. Go all the way back to his freshman year, the Michigan State game. I mean, that's when he first started getting some significant playing time. But I will say this, the winning touchdown for Robert Hughes, Schwab absolutely made a great block. Absolutely sprung him for the touchdown. So let's try to be fair and charitable here on a holiday weekend. But
some of our biggest miscues were not like young guys doing stupid things.
Well, I'm going to argue with you about that a little bit. Other than Schwab's fumble, most of the miscues are young guys doing stupid things. Clawson hanging onto the ball too long or forcing the throw that turns out to be an interception. You know, I think Kamara dropped a touchdown pass on the first drive right before Robert Hughes fumbles. Robert Hughes fumbles. You know, I think a lot of the mistakes were the young guys, with the exception of Schwab. I mean,
how do you count Sam Young, you know, whiffing on the block and creating the fumble? Is that a young guy? One of your leaders on the offensive line, and he's played two full seasons. And I think some of the defensive line play, some of the seniors, I don't want to point call guys out by name, but, you know, you look
like
and you
Schwab.
Think, yeah, there's, what's that?
Like Schwab, we kind of called him out, didn't we?
Yeah, I know. And so you said be charitable, so now I will. But I just see some play in that just does not look like guys are playing hard in there,
and I
think some of the freshmen are.
Time out. Let's talk about Sam Young since you brought him up. He's still a sophomore. Yes, two full seasons. But those two full seasons don't make him as quick and as strong as he's going to be when he's a senior. Would you agree with that? That in two more years of strength training and conditioning and agility training, he will be a different physical specimen than he is right now?
Sure. Well, I hope. You certainly hope so, but
he
I think
better be.
Well, that's just not Mike. I think that's an illegitimate excuse for what we've seen all year is getting beat around the corner
wait
by that.
Minute, now, wait a minute. That was only part of my point on Sam Young. A, he is still a young guy in terms of his physical development and growth. Okay. Yes, he's enormous, but he's going to get stronger, bigger, and quicker. Okay. Secondly, on Sam Young, you said, well, you know, Clawson, you give Clawson a free pass on the fumble because that's football. He got blindsided. And it's also football that you get beat. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get beat every play or every game at some point, and you got to get up and do it over again. That's why football is such a great game.
Yep.
Okay. And so Sam Young, as the left tackle, is always matched up against the opponent's best pass rusher. And in this case, that kid for Stanford, Stanford's one of the leading sack teams in the country. Why? Because their right defensive end is good. And so Sam Young got beat on that play, but that happens. That is football. Okay. So partly I'm saying, yeah, he's a young guy in terms of his technique, his agility, his speed and strength. And partly you're going to get beat sometime. I think mostly the mistakes that we saw were a function of the youth of this team. And yes, it's the last game of the year, but they're still young guys.
I'll give you some things that didn't go so well that I think aren't the youth, and that is there is some play calling, and I know you don't like to get into play calling issues, but man, there's sometimes some drives that I thought we were just too cute. There's the one that I know you were upset about where it was a two screens and a draw. I think it's just sort of getting too cute for our own good. And if that's Charlie calling the plays, you know, he's a third year head coach with eons of experience calling plays. That has nothing to do with youth, and that, you know, you got to wonder about.
That's probably the low point of the game for me is, you know, you get the ball in a great field position, and that whole sequence was actually very interesting in the game. Zibby makes a great punt return, nearly breaks it, great field position, and in three plays we lose 16 yards on two screens and a draw. We then punt, and they rough the kicker, and we get a first down, and then a couple plays later, the Grimes catch that wasn't. That was a really unusual
Right, and then it ends with us missing a field goal. That was the end of that bizarre saga.
It wasn't a well-played game, was it? I mean, these two teams obviously are 3-8, 3-9 for reasons.
Look, you know, if I'm going to be from the neck up, yeah, then yes, it was a horribly played game, and there's no question why these two teams are at the bottom of D1. But if I just go from the neck down, oh, it felt good to win.
It did.
You know, late night Thanksgiving snack after Notre Dame wins, and wake up this morning reading the newspaper on a win. It feels good.
Okay, so we've spent like 5 minutes here talking about the negatives. Let's talk about some positives. You got to love Robert Hughes.
He's shown some really good things, some stuff that we haven't had in the program for a while, which is just a guy who can bruise a little inside, but also his feet are quick enough to avoid people. That was a good thing. Kamara had a whale of a ball game. I mean, he caught a bunch of passes. I think he was close to 100 yards in receptions.
Yeah, he had 90-some yards in receptions. And the long one that he was interfered with and still came up with the
That was fantastic.
That was a great catch. Grimes is starting to catch the ball like we saw him do last year.
Well, you know what? Let's get into it. What in God's name was that guy looking at up in the booth?
Oh, that's one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
It's incredible.
There was no way you could look at that and say, oh, that's clearly he didn't catch the ball.
People on Indy Nation were talking about, oh, the guy doesn't understand the standard or whatever. And some of the commentary back is kind of where I am, which is it had nothing to do with the standard. It had to do with what were you looking at? What was there any evidence that it touched the ground? And there was none.
That's just it. If you have to say, well, he must have dropped it because I think I saw whatever, that's not irrefutable if you have to come to the conclusion. Either you see it or you don't, and he didn't see it.
That was just bizarre. From beginning to end, it was bizarre.
Yeah, certainly I'm glad that it didn't determine the outcome of the game, and it could have. It looked like it might for a while. But the running of Robert Hughes, the offensive line, you know, I thought played better. Now, granted, you know, the opponent is key in all this, of course. But I thought the offensive line played a little bit better. Robert Hughes ran hard. And I thought Clawson played another good game, with the exception of, you know, there were a few times when you'd say, throw the ball away. But you know what? On some of those, and this is what is so hard to know on watching the game on TV because they don't show you all 11 guys. If it's a screen pass and Clawson and the linemen are downfield, linemen are allowed to go downfield if the ball is thrown behind the line of scrimmage. That's the rule. And if it's a screen pass that gets sniffed out or doesn't develop because the back falls down or whatever reason, and Clawson is now forced to run out of the pocket, if he throws the ball away across the line of scrimmage, and when you're outside the pocket, outside the tackle box, right, you can throw the ball away, but you have to throw it downfield. So if it's a screen and he's flush, he can't throw it away without it being an ineligible receiver downfield.
Yeah, but in that particular situation, he ran out of bounds about and created what? About a 10 or 11 yard sack. And had he thrown the ball with an ineligible receiver, then the penalty and a replay of the down would not have been as bad.
Well, it would have been about the same, and maybe that's the critique, is that, you know, he has to make that calculation in his head quicker, and maybe that comes with experience. But I think on at least one of those occasions, it seemed to me that the screen was set up left, and he scrambles right, and now he has no chance to throw it at the feet of the receiver to throw the ball away, because that's how you have to throw away a screen. You just got to throw it at the foot of the receiver. Otherwise, you're going to get a penalty, okay? So that's some of what's going on, and I think a lot of people are yelling, Clawson's got to learn to throw the ball away. There's times when in that screen situation where he cannot throw the ball away.
Yes, there are times in that screen situation, but if you look over more broadly at Clawson's body of work, then I think you see that whether it's a screen or not, he hangs on to the ball a long time.
Now, I'm more willing
to believe that one of the things going on is Charlie is saying to him, as a freshman, take the sack more often than flinging something. As we saw, when he chose to do that, it was at a horrible time, and it could have turned the game into a disaster.
Yeah.
It was almost a pick six.
That's the obvious one where you look and you say, come on, what's he doing? He's being a freshman is what he's doing.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's kind of where I'm going with this. I think most of the time you'll see the freshman mistakes are more disastrous. They're throwing things downfield and turning into interceptions and six the other way. And there's been remarkably little of that with Clawson.
I thought he played well yesterday, and I think he's played pretty well all year long.
You know, one of the things, you look around college football and you see some young quarterbacks, or when a starting quarterback goes down, look at Oregon as a classic example.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys just are floating up near the top with a shot at the national championship with a Heisman Trophy candidate. He goes down. Boom, they're done. They got blanked by UCLA. So we're dealing with, in essence, a kid who should be a backup, okay? And his backup is a kid who, you know, may have been redshirted again at another program and said, we're not even going to bring you out. And we've dealt with that all season. And he delivered some balls yesterday that really show that he is, he's got the potential to be a very accomplished college quarterback.
There were a couple long balls that were, and we kept throwing them and kept throwing them. And it's tough to know whether or not those long balls are truly designed as underthrow jump balls, which I think some of them are. And sometimes it might be that they're underthrown. It's really hard to know. But there was only one throw that I thought stood out as a poor throw. He missed, I think it was Grimes on an out. Fourth quarter, I believe.
Kind of a hitch pattern.
That was the only one I think that was truly a bad ball. He makes so many good throws that just make you go, wow.
The one to Kamara
in the end zone where Kamara bobbled it, that was an unbelievable throw.
Yes, and one of the things that I think he doesn't get enough credit for and is key in the Charlie Weiss system is accuracy. And Sharpley brought some other skills to the table, but when you looked at Sharpley's ball, and I've come around on this, and I think you've pointed a bunch of things out to me that have changed my view somewhat on this. He can be accurate when he needs to throw a floater or, you know, a ball that people run under, but accuracy with some hard zip on it, a deep out and things like that, a curl, working back at the quarterback, Clawson's got accuracy on those, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know what? One thing I want to point out is that I'm a little disappointed in the defensive effort. The defensive secondary played well, and Trevor Laws is a man among boys. Just incredible job that he's done. But my goodness, we score to take the lead with about 6 minutes left in the game. And a game that we had multiple opportunities to win, and I got to give the guys credit for some heart and not throwing it in, not like
you are
collapsing.
I'm just going to say this. You are tough, a tough critic. Go ahead.
All right. So there we are. We punch it in to take the lead, and then they return the kickoff.
Yes.
42 yards.
Right.
And then proceed the following. Run for 2 yards. Pass for 7, run for 5, run for 7, run for 8, pass for 2, pass for 7, run for 4, and that all the way down the freaking field.
Hang on a minute. You can't go all the way down the field when you start at the 50-yard line. So let's start with the special teams, or who I'm disappointed in, for giving up that return in that situation.
Absolutely.
As we see every week, it seems.
Yes. And we've actually, it happened against BC, I think against Air Force, and probably some others that I can't remember
right
now.
Yes, let's talk about the defense. That's your critique.
We score a touchdown and the special team lets us down. So then they go down half the field, okay?
Makes a difference.
Well, but the kickoff team is part of the defense I was talking about. At any rate, they rip us down to the 10, okay? And then I think that Stanford got a little, I don't know, their goalies puckered a little or whatever, but they plug it up the middle for 2 yards, plug it up the middle for 2 yards and set themselves up for a third and long. And we know what happened. The two miscues. Now, we were on the first play, especially.
Let me jump in on this here, okay? You're throwing all kinds of stuff out there. They rip us 8-yard run, 10-yard run. And then you criticize their coach for getting their goalies puckered and getting a tight, you know what, because they run it again? Well, hang on. They just ripped us down there. And so maybe our guys rose to the occasion and stuffed them. It wasn't like they got conservative.
I don't have any problem giving them credit for the stop on first and 10, a 2-yard gain. And even on the side, we played well. The editorial comment was just a little, it surprised me a little bit because they've had a lot of success and you thought they might, you know, run some counterpunch or something at us at that stage. At any rate, on the third down play, our guys were really right there and his drop in the back of the end zone. You know, hard to say if the fact that he was covered tightly with hands there and all that may have distracted him.
I think it did. And the angle they showed on TV didn't quite show it, but it certainly looked as if Bruton his hand could have been in there. But I think, there's a picture. I'm looking at a picture in the South Bend Tribune of that play here. And the guy's bracketed by Bruton, Lambert and Bruton. And I think the defense was pretty good on the third down play. Now, the fourth down play, I think the kid dropped it.
Yeah, the fourth down play, it was just a miss. At any rate, I'm sorry, I was disappointed. When you look at the number of yards rushing the defense had given up against a team that was not known for being able to run the ball.
Well, running game was their strength. Stanford's run offense was the better part of their offense going into the game. And, you know, we held them to 175 yards rushing. That's not horrible considering what our defense is. And this is my point. A, they didn't score. The defense, with the game on the line, won the game, kept them out of the end zone. A little help from them. That's football. Two, the defense in that series played the critical probably last four plays of the game without Trevor Laws. And three, our defense, how could you be disappointed in the defense? They haven't been good all year long. It's not like they've been a good defense and suddenly they're just getting ripped by Stanford. We've been bad all year long.
Stanford's one of the worst offenses in the country, statistically.
Yeah, that's right. And we pitched a shutout in the second half and held them to 327 yards total offense. When the offense did nothing in the second half except the one touchdown, the defense played pretty darn well. I'm not disappointed in the defensive effort at all. We are bad on defense, and we played one of our better games.
Okay.
It's a different perspective.
The total yards by Stanford is probably ahead of their average. They held the ball for 34 minutes and 15 seconds against our 25-45.
Some of that's on the offense.
Some, as we've said all year. Well, here's one thing that I think we need to look at, and I sort of alluded to it before. There really were a number of of reasons that the momentum could have been crushing against us, and we had guys who were unwilling to allow that to sink them, and I like that. The drive for the winning touchdown, 6 plays, 68 yards, and a big break, big run down there. We didn't turn it over. We punched it in. I mean, those are all good things to look.
We'll talk more about where we're headed as a program, the coaching staff, the criticisms of the coaching staff, et cetera. We're going to spend some time in the next couple shows talking about that. And we'll talk a little Notre Dame basketball. The Irish get a good win against Youngstown State last night. It was great to see the offense get in rhythm. As Coach Bray said, offensive rhythm is the key. And Kyle McElarney found his shooting stroke back, and that's going to be critical, again, to long-term success. We'll talk more Irish basketball also later in the week. Until then, this is Mike Sullivan for Ed Sullivan. We'll see you next time on Dome and Domer.